to put it up at the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Excited for this show, set to get a brand new week off and rolling. Today we will talk some local sports. We're going to give you a weekend recap of the high school football scene. We'll look at some soccer, and also we'll be joined today in the studio here in about 10 minutes by USU Eastern Vice Chancellor Greg Dart. He's going to join us to talk about some of the happenings within the athletics department. Very busy time, and today is actually the first day of class at USU Eastern. So we got plenty of local sports coming up here on the show momentarily. Travis will begin by briefly talking about the money fight this past weekend. We will spend a segment dissecting it. To no surprise, Floyd Mayweather gets the win. He gets it by TKO. I thought the fight would go 7 rounds. It actually went 10. We'll talk about some of the things that Conor McGregor did well in this fight. But at the end of the day, one thing was obvious. McGregor was severely outmatched in this fight from a boxing standpoint. There's no other way around it. At no point in time in this fight, and while McGregor, he exceeded my expectations for the fight, I'll be completely honest, but Mayweather was just in a world of his own, and I felt from round 6 to 10 he probably could have ended it whenever he wanted.
Yeah, he kind of just toyed with him, like you said, from those 6th to 10th round, just dangled that carrot in front of him, let McGregor unload on him, and then McGregor was gassed, and Mayweather unloaded on him.
Now, again, I will say, Conor McGregor did do better than I had anticipated. What's next for him? And I think that's the question now. Does he have a spot in boxing? Think about that. Does McGregor have a spot in boxing, or should he return to the UFC? We will talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. Now, some other news to note over the weekend. BYU opened up the season against Portland State. We're going to talk BYU football later on in the week, but did you watch the game?
Yes, I did.
I don't know what to make. I'm not going to rush to conclusions and say BYU's in trouble. Because they went up against Portland State. And it's very easy to overlook a team like Portland State, okay? I understand that. However, if in fact this weekend's game against LSU does get played, there's some cause for concern up front. The offensive line, and I know there's a lot of movement going on right now with BYU. I get that. But they didn't necessarily have their best game. So we could sit here and talk X's and O's about BYU all we want. I thought Squally Canada looked pretty good. Tanner Mangum, once he's flushed out of the pocket, it's worrisome for BYU. He can move inside the pocket, but once he's out, not a whole lot there. I don't believe we saw the best of BYU. I think it was a very vanilla game for them. But now you have to wonder, is the game actually going to get played this weekend due to Hurricane Harvey? Now, while the flooding in Texas from the tropical storm has resulted in the search for the alternate game, LSU Athletic Director Joe Oliva said today that he believes the game will in fact be played. Now, there are several locations where this game could be played. Orlando, Nashville, Jacksonville, and Dallas have all been reported by the Baton Rouge Advocate as places to land this game. It would be a travesty. I shouldn't say it'd be a travesty. That's the wrong wording. It would be sad if this game did not get played. Understanding the circumstances, I like how LSU is so willing to have this game played in Lafayette. Provo's not even an option.
No.
It's not even an option.
Weird how that works out that way.
They're not going any further west than Texas. I get it. Orlando, Nashville, Jacksonville, and Dallas have all been reported as possible replacements, again, for this particular match.
I think Dallas is probably the
most
logical.
More than likely. Yeah. I would agree with you. I would definitely agree with you. Nonetheless, really terrible what's happening with Hurricane Harvey. And again, for all those who have been affected, just a very sad situation in general. Hopefully we do get the game this weekend, and we'll talk more BYU football in the days to come. As far as other headlines throughout the national sports scene, about this deal with the Celtics and the Cavaliers.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah, it's going to go through. There's no way they can void this, are we, for Cleveland?
It's possible.
I mean, that would be so awkward and uncomfortable for all involved.
Well, I understand, based that the Cavs, you know, you look at the... First off...
But didn't we already know Isaiah Thomas was hurt?
Maybe not to this extent.
So the Celtics are playing a little possum
sure
with
they
the
are.
Injury? Yeah.
Sure they are. Absolutely. They have not requested more assets from Boston. That's according to Cleveland.com. That does follow a report from Adrian Wojnarowski over the weekend, which said the Cavaliers were planning on seeking additional compensation. But there's raised concern because of the timeline for Isaiah Thomas. And again, this is a lot of the reason why I looked at the trade for Cleveland and I said, worst case scenario, you have a guy that's going to make $7 million per season. If he can't play, you're ridding some salary cap to start rebuilding post-LeBron. That's why I was okay with this deal right off of the bat. Now, the original deal sent Irving to Boston, Thomas, Jay Crowder, Zizek, and Brooklyn's first-round pick to Cleveland.
It's a great deal for Cleveland.
I think it's a good deal for both teams.
Yeah.
I really do. Now, Wojnarowski reported that the Cavaliers officials are trying to make the case that Boston undersold them on Thomas's injury, and more specifically, how soon that he would be able to play this season.
Of course they did.
On the other hand, he added, quote, all along, Boston has believed it was clear in its assessment of Thomas's physical status that the information was communicated to the Cavaliers in conversations before Tuesday's trade. So if the Cavs do attempt to gain additional assets, they're expected to ask about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
No. Good job, yeah.
Not happening.
No.
No way, no way will Boston give up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. There's no way. It was a shocking trade to begin with. No way do they get those two players.
No.
No way.
You can ask, but nice try. I'd hang up the phone right there. You can't have those two players as well.
I don't know if it'd be as well. I think it would just be Tatum
or
Brown straight up for Kyrie. And I don't know. And again, I could be wrong. I don't know if the salary cap matches. I'd have to look and see how they would actually have to maneuver this. All in all, I believe if that's what Cleveland, if the deal hinges on them getting Brown or Tatum, this deal gets void.
Yeah, just
and Kyrie's got to go back to Cleveland.
Yeah, and then you have to trade him in the offseason.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see that happen.
I kind of want to avoid it.
I kind of want to.
It's chaos.
Well, it is. It is chaos. Now, if you're a Cavs fan, if you're a Celtics fan, you don't want to see that. But if you're not, you probably do, especially here in the state of Utah. The Jazz don't necessarily care for the Celtics. Jazz fans don't necessarily care for Boston in general.
And Isaiah Thomas already had some harsh words for the Celtics, so if it's voided, ugh.
It's going to be messy if it is voided. Let's take a look at the schedule in Major League Baseball. A lot of fun storylines really creeping up in Major League Baseball. Giancarlo Stanton. This guy's going to get 62, isn't he?
It looks that way. Yeah, he's smashing right now.
No asterisk next to it if he gets to 62 either.
No.
None. Absolutely none. Schedule today in Major League Baseball. 5 o'clock tonight, ESPN. We get Cleveland at the Yankees. Seattle will take on Baltimore. The Nationals play host to the Marlins. Atlanta will travel on the road to take on Philadelphia. And then Toronto welcomes in Boston. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6:05, it's Pittsburgh at Chicago. I'm talking about the Cubs. Kansas City will welcome in Tampa Bay. Detroit travels to take on the Rockies. Two games tonight, Oakland at the Angels, 8:07 start time, and then San Francisco at San Diego. It's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll give you a local sports recap, and USU Eastern Vice Chancellor Greg Dart's going to join us in just a moment here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Summer's last sizzling sale is here at Sutherland. Add curb appeal to your home with a new walkway. Save 25% off all in-stock paved stone pavers and blocks. Save big on all canning supplies. We have a wide variety of jars, lids, labels, tools, and more. All 25% off. It's the perfect time to finish your sprinkler system. All Genova or Orbit pipe, fittings, and sprinklers are 25% off. Don't forget huge savings on the three special super sizzler items. Sutherland's, helping you build it better.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
Remember growing up and spending those summer days at the park? Summer picnics were always accompanied with some juicy chicken from KFC. At KFC, the Colonel's secret recipe is still going strong, and their $20 fill-up meal has got your picnic covered. That's right, just $20 will feed your family well with 8 pieces of chicken, a large coleslaw, 2 large bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits. Grab your kids a blanket and a $20 fill-up meal, and let the summer picnic tradition continue with the help of KFC.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. We will begin on the high school football field where Friday on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the Emory Spartan football team dipped to 0-2 on the season with a 35-3 loss to Summit Academy. The Spartans battled tough throughout the contest, and it wasn't until the second half when Summit Academy pulled away for good. Despite the setback, Kyson Stilson was once again solid for Emory in his second start at the varsity level. He finished 9 of 15 for 77 yards through the air before leaving the contest with concussion-like symptoms. On the ground, the Spartans were led by Rance Jensen, who finished with 44 yards. James Bowman earned Senator David Hinkins Player of the Game honors. He finished with 76 yards receiving and another 26 on the ground, giving him 102 all-purpose yards. The Spartans will look to bounce back on the winning track when they return to the field Friday. They'll play host to 4A Payson. We stick with high school football, but move over to Carbon High, where the Dinos also dipped to 0-2 on the season Friday night. They dropped a tough one to Payson by a final score of 23-14. The score was tied 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. Payson opened up a 10-0 lead at the end of the second, and Carbon outscored Payson 8-7 in the third before the two teams tied 6-6 in the fourth. Now, unfortunately for the Dinos, junior quarterback Noah Jones left the contest with an injury. Before leaving, Jones was 4 of 7 under center for 58 yards through the air and also threw a touchdown. Jared Atwood stepped in, filled in nicely for Carbon. He finished 4 of 7 for 60 yards. The Dinos were led on the ground by Nate Olson, who carried the ball 17 times for a total of 51 yards. Carbon will have an opportunity to log their first victory of the season this Friday when they travel on the road. They will take on Duchesne. Start time for that game is set for 7 p.m. Throughout the week here on KOAL, we'll catch up with Coach Huntsman and Coach Famalo of the Spartans and the Dinos to get you set up for this weekend's action. We move away from the high school ranks and move over to the junior college soccer level, where this past Friday, the USU Eastern Lady Eagles defeated Colorado Mesa on the road by a final score of 5-0. The win for the Lady Eagles comes following a double overtime loss to Western Wyoming on Tuesday. The USU Eastern Lady Eagles continue the soccer season over Labor Day weekend. They will travel to Henderson, Nevada, where they will take on Grand Canyon University and Sheridan Community College. Now, while the women were on the road, the men joined. They, too, took on Colorado Mesa. They earned a 5-1 victory. They, too, will travel to Henderson, Nevada over Labor Day weekend. Their first contest will take place Thursday against Lake Tahoe Community College before taking on Grand Canyon University on Saturday. Over the weekend, it was the Carbon County Fair, which played host to another Horseshoes tournament in the format of double elimination on teams. In first place went to Bill Mitchell and Guy Nina. Second place was Dustin Loffley and Mike Loffley. And third place went to BJ Davis and Kevin Powell. Numbers were down a little bit this year. 12 teams participated. Next up is September 9th in Price, where a fundraiser tournament will be held for Job's Daughter International. Registration will be at 12 p.m. Again, it will be a double elimination format tournament beginning at 1 p.m. The cost will be $20 per team. Prizes will be awarded to the top three teams. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student-athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man-hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student-athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
Sick and tired of paying high labor rates to get your side-by-side serviced? Take it to Bent Metal Off-Road in Carbonville next time. Call 820-0247 today for an appointment.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Our second segment of the day, it's going to be geared towards a local sports front. Over the weekend, the USU Eastern volleyball squad traveled on the road to Nevada. They actually knocked off a preseason number 13th ranked team. Starting off the year, a perfect 4-0. We're going to talk about the volleyball team and also some of the other sports off and rolling at USU Eastern, including soccer, and not too far off, it's basketball. Joining us in studio right now, we have USU Eastern Vice Chancellor Greg Dart. Greg, always fun to get you in. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Definitely. It is a fun time at USU Eastern because now the fall sports are off and rolling. In fact, this past weekend, the volleyball team opened up the season. Last week, the soccer team got off and rolling. So a really fun time for a couple of sports that just continue to get bigger and bigger at USU Eastern.
Yeah, it is. It's very fun. Volleyball has been a really exciting sport to see kind of some new energy brought in by Coach Danielle Jensen. Soccer, of course, we're a couple of years into having a conference now, the second year, but that is a sport where you see more student athletes than any other sport between men's and women's soccer, nearly 90 student athletes and playing amazing competition.
You know, we'll start with soccer. And you mentioned the amount of student athletes. Look, soccer games are a blast to go to. And with having a conference, we're going to get home games. And that's the fun thing. I mean, the first couple of years, that wasn't necessarily the case, which I can't believe we're in year four already. Coach Bennett and I were talking about this, and I asked him, I said, are you sure it's year four and not year three? And he said, you know, I had to ask my wife that same question. And she said, no, Ammon, you've been here for 4 years. So it's gone by. But to see the growth in the program has been a lot of fun.
It has. When we were in the same situation in year one, it was, okay, where can we get games? Where are we going to have to travel to play games, knowing that there just wasn't junior college soccer around here? By year two, Coach Bennett had built something with the program, and there were teams that were at least willing to come and play. And then last year and now this year, having a conference, it's a whole different ball game, and it's a lot of fun having great competition here. What's pretty amazing about the Scenic West is that last year there hadn't been any soccer played outside of our program. It was difficult as teams were really playing well at the end of the season. They still weren't getting votes in polls and such. In both the men's and women's preseason and NJCAA polls, there were ranked teams from this conference in year two. Just shows the respect that the conference is getting and the level of talent that there is here in the Scenic West.
Obviously, you have to give a lot of credit to the coaches who have allowed this conference to take off in this regard. But from a vice chancellor standpoint, what role have you and other vice chancellors or athletic directors or chancellors played in the growth of soccer throughout the state and throughout this conference?
I would put a lot of that on our chancellor, Joe Peterson. What he had was the vision to say yes to a program when we had no idea who we'd be playing and things like that, but he knew that there was a need out there. I mean, you look at the soccer clubs in the state, and there was a lot of talent that didn't have a place to play, and those who did were going a long way away. And then after that, it was just telling the story. He and I put together lots of presentations. We presented to other presidents at other institutions, presented to athletic directors, about just the nuts and bolts of what soccer had meant, the dollars and cents of it, the diversity that it brings to a campus, all those things. And as we presented that to college presidents one by one, they were on board. They, at a time where athletics on the junior college level at a lot of places is declining, they were ready for expansion because of the story of what soccer had done here at Utah State Eastern. And so I wouldn't say that my role was significant, but the chancellor at our institution, if you wanted to point to why there's soccer in the Scenic West, he's the right person to point to.
Well, and I definitely point to the college as having a major impact in the growth of soccer here locally. Now 4 years into it, I know that soccer was kind of up and coming here, in Price and Emory counties. But at the same time, when you have a local institution, you guys elevated the soccer program here locally. I mean, I point directly to USU Eastern when I continue to see growth.
Well, we're very excited. I mean, when you look at what what is here. You've got two different rec leagues. You've got a competition league and PYSA. There's a lot of love for soccer here. One of the challenges has been, did they have champions at the right levels, in that up until now we haven't, you know, they've been playing on makeshift fields and such, with the fields that we're putting in on the old Durant property, and we'll have two collegiate size fields that can be, you know, a lot of different arrangements for youth soccer. What the county is doing and the investment there, this is a soccer town now, and I don't think you could have said that 4 years ago.
No, absolutely not. And with that being said, you mentioned the field. The grass is coming in nice. I mean, it looks terrific. Last time we had you in, you had mentioned that there was about 12 feet that you guys actually had to fill from corner to corner to make that level. And now we're starting to see it all come together. It looks beautiful.
It does. Ward Landscaping has done a lot of the work for us. It's been a process to get to where we were, just because of that. The ground was, there was a lot of leveling to do. And it's exciting to see that grass come in. By spring, you'll see games on there. You'll see collegiate games. You'll see the community using that. That's a field that we want scheduled. We're building it to have use, and so we're offering that up to the community to use for soccer, for other sports. It will be a multi-sport area, and we're so excited to have it.
Again, we're being joined right now by USU Eastern Vice Chancellor Greg Dart. Greg, let's move over and talk about volleyball. They started off great over the weekend, 4-0. And again, this is a team that's led by Coach Daniel Jensen, former head coach at Carbon High School. Really neat to see this program, another program, taken over by a local name that people are aware of and having some success. It definitely speaks volumes to the talent of coaches we have here locally. But for me, that's been one of the funnest aspects, to see Coach Jensen kind of take this program over and give it her vision after Coach Lee really set it on the right track.
Yeah, I think it is really exciting. And just, I mean, the local coaching talent, and to have Coach Jensen has been amazing. To have Coach Nelson with women's basketball, Coach Warburton, you know, to have some locals in our athletic department has been awesome. And now Coach Warburton as the athletic director has been great. But in volleyball specifically, when Coach Jensen came in last year, she came in very late in the process because of what happened with Coach Lee taking another position, her husband taking a position and leaving much later than what a coach usually would. And jumped into a program where they were athletes recruited by somebody else and trying to develop a system. And her and Stacey Mortensen put together something that was pretty amazing in their first year. We expected that this year you'd really see them start to shine, recruiting their own student athletes and building in a system. And to have that first tournament under their belts and have a 4-0 start, including a win over a nationally ranked opponent, I think you're seeing something that is going to pay dividends for years to come.
I'm definitely not a great volleyball mind by any means, but I have passed through a couple of practices this year with Coach Jensen. Two things stand out to me, and I'll let you elaborate on this. For one, the organization that Coach Jensen has is pretty phenomenal, and the intensity of the practices is noticeable as well.
I think those two things are very clear. And it's interesting with volleyball, the way that volleyball works, and the more that time I spend around it, the more I can appreciate this, is that an organized practice is a practice that you get a lot done. A disorganized practice means you get much less done in the time that you have. And so there is a focus on organization from Coach Jensen and Coach Mortensen that I think is very impressive. And there's a lot of discipline among the girls. The other thing that I think you'd notice walking in is, man, there's some height there. that's the first thing I noticed walking into a practice this year. I thought, man, they are a lot taller than we've been before, which never hurts.
No, definitely not. In fact, there may be some basketball talent on that volleyball squad as well, right?
Definitely. We've got a basketball player that is playing volleyball for us this year and a softball player as well.
With the school actually just getting underway today, classes begin actually.
Right.
How is it around campus when you're trying to get these new athletes in, kids that weren't freshmen last year, new kids, new faces, trying to get them acclimated? I'm sure the coaches have their hands full this week.
Oh, definitely. And it's exciting. I mean, Utah State University Eastern Athletics is a brand in the junior college realm across the country. And so we have student athletes who are coming from all over. Getting them set on what schedule looks like as I was arriving at work this morning, seeing the soccer field just covered with student athletes because that's when they're practicing. Getting that with an academic advisor who's helping you build a schedule that builds around this. It's a whole different schedule than what they're used to if they're coming in for the first time, and even if they're transferring from another institution. And these coaches, they do a lot more than just coach the sport. They've got to be advisors to these students. They've got to help them through trials. They've got to be their counselors. Then they've got to be their motivators. And we've got just an amazing coaching staff at the institution. And now finally a support staff too, with athletic trainers, with academic advisors that can help them as well.
Yeah, I think across the board we have such high-level character coaches at USU Eastern.
For sure. You can't, across the board, I think, is the right way of putting it. You can't point to a sport and not be proud of what our coaches are doing. And I think the success on the field comes when you have those things in order, and they're in order. And I expect that you'll see success on the field and on the courts this year as well.
Anything else within the athletics department, Greg, that we haven't mentioned? I mean, again, volleyball and soccer is off and rolling. You know, basketball will get moving here in a moment, but before we know it. But anything else that we have missed?
Well, there's one thing with our volleyball team that I've been telling them that they need to be aware of, that, you know, they have two records to beat from last year's team, and one being the wins and loss record. If they want to show up last year's team, you got to do better wins and losses. But last year's volleyball team was in the top 10 in the nation in team GPA, 3.64 GPA, and I want to see them beat that record as well. There were 34 academic All-Americans in this last year, six the year before that. So everybody's stepping up their game in the classroom as well, and I know they have the talent to do that too.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because at the end of the day, they are student athletes. Notice what word comes first? Student.
Exactly. And to see the success that our students are having in the classroom, and see how that is a focus that really puts those students on a trajectory to be successful in whatever they do, whether that's in athletics or not after they leave here, it's really exciting to see their achievements.
Greg, I definitely always look forward to the conversation. I know it is busy this week with things kicking off at school, but thank you again for taking the time to come on down here.
Oh, just happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
That's definitely a pleasure. That's Greg Dart, USU Eastern Vice Chancellor, taking out the time to join us on the show and giving us the rundown of everything that's happening within the athletics department. We're going to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll recap the money fight. Floyd Mayweather picking up his 50th professional win, this time by TKO. In the 10th round. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Believe it or not, the start of school is just around the corner. Are you ready to pay for new school clothes, school supplies, and of course, those registration fees? Desert View Federal Credit Union has just the loan for you. From now to the end of August, you can get a $1,000 signature loan with a 7.99% rate for 12 months. Desert View Federal Credit Union is ready to help relieve that back-to-school stress. Call 687-2472 to talk to a loan officer today.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA. There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss. It just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. Mmm, so delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff at the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
Emory Telecom's new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emory Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
Yeah, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Back on Drive Time Sports, we got to break down the money fight. We spent so much time talking about this fight over the last 3 months. Now it's come and gone. First off, your reaction to the way McGregor looked in this fight. Better than what you thought? About what you thought? Worse than what you thought?
Better than I thought. His size was clearly an advantage for him, and his jab. He had a nice little jab, but we all knew that as the rounds went on, he was going to fatigue. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, those hands started lowering and lowering and lowering, and Mayweather just unloaded.
Maybe the three things that impressed me from McGregor in this fight. First off, you're absolutely 100% correct. His size was a big advantage. I didn't realize, it's something I did not take really fully in account, the size of McGregor. I knew he was going to be bigger than Floyd. It's the first time that Floyd has fought someone in a while that was taller than him. So I knew he was going to be bigger. I knew McGregor would be roughly 165 to 170. I believe he told Jim Gray he was 170 during the pre-fight interviews. Not out of the norm. I mean, again, Floyd, I believe Victor Ortiz was roughly 170 the night that he rehydrated and fought Floyd 6 years ago. But the size was an advantage, and one of the three things that I really liked about McGregor in this fight was he used the jab extremely well. Tried to dictate the distance. Now, maybe that would have worked for a round or two or three if Floyd had the same mentality that he has had over the past, I don't even want to say 49 fights, if he had the same mentality over the past, I don't know, 10 fights, of just, you know, using his defensive wizardry to stand back and pick his shots. And if that would have, look, if Floyd would have fought that way, people would be very upset about the outcome, because it probably would have ended in the 10th or 11th or 12th round, because McGregor would have gotten exhausted. But there would have been no action in this fight.
No.
Okay? So I thought that McGregor did well as far as his jab, and because of it, he won one round on two judges' scorecards and three on another judge's scorecard. I had him winning two. I give him rounds one, I give him round three. That's it. One judge gave him rounds one, two, and three. The other two gave him round one, and that was it. So I thought the jab allowed him to at least accumulate one round. I really liked how he was able to switch. This impressed me early on in the fight. There's two instances that stand out of my mind. I think he did it a little bit more often than twice, but two instances stand out of my mind. where he switched from southpaw to orthodox, and he did it seamlessly. Really quick. This was when he had his legs in the beginning of the fight. That impressed me.
He did a good job with the angles.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And number three, I like that he made it a dirty fight. Okay, people can say what they want about the way Bird refereed this bout. I've watched this fight now six times. Watched it four times yesterday. And the fourth time, I count. When I watch a fight, I look for new things. I don't just watch the fight. I'm looking for different aspects of the fight to break down. I counted 17 separate occasions in which McGregor fouled Mayweather. And there were several occasions where Mayweather fouled McGregor as well. Floyd, if you watch enough Floyd fights, you know that he does use his elbows. He finds ways to use his elbows, and he did a couple of times. But McGregor made it a dirty fight with hammer punches, which a lot of it, which I think was instinct. He fouled Mayweather with several punches from behind the head, and he went low a couple of times in this fight. Now, I say I like it because he didn't have respect for Mayweather. You don't walk into a fight when you respect someone and foul them on 17 separate occasions. He went in with the attitude that he was going to win. He wasn't happy with just the payday. And I respect that. It's like watching Navy play football.
It's ugly.
You make it ugly. You try to make it ugly. And I thought that's what McGregor had to do to get the win. So those are the three things that I really liked from McGregor. Now, before we move on from Conor and talk about Floyd, my position on where he goes next, does he go back to the UFC? I think the purse they've guaranteed him, I think they've guaranteed the purse to be $30 million. Well, he's not going to get $30 million in the UFC. It's not going to happen. So, next up, you have to take a look at where he would go next. And I thought that for the longest time, the next bout would put him in the ring with Paulie Malignaggi. To me, that's a fight that I think there's a lot of interest building around. I think a lot of people would pay for that fight. I think over the last couple of weeks, there was more interest in that particular bout building than the Floyd-Conor fight. So I think this guy does have a spot in boxing. All in all, it's going to be difficult because he's 29 years old, and that's a problem. You look at it on the flip side, Floyd was obviously the masterful fighter, obviously. He was a boxer that knew exactly what he wanted to do. He looked every bit as 40 years old. I can say that about Floyd. It's not the same guy that fought Pacquiao 2 years ago. It's not even remotely close to being the same guy. Floyd stood back for three rounds. Then he decided to come forward at times in this fight. And I've been on two different radio shows today talking about this. At times in this bout, he actually looked like Joe Frazier. Peekaboo style. Head down, move into the pocket, put the head into the opponent's chest, and work from the inside. Not the same Floyd that we've been accustomed to. So, like the guy or not, and I know several listeners don't like the guy, and I've had fun with a lot of you on social media about this, he made it an appealing fight because he could have stood back, he could have picked his shots, he could have recreated the Pacquiao fight, he could have recreated the Berto fight, he could have recreated the Canelo fight, and he didn't. He didn't do that. And so because of that, it was definitely one of those bouts that, you know, I think it was worth it. I do. It exceeded my expectations. All in all, I thought it was fun. I'm glad it's over with. I'll tell you the one interesting aspect now moving forward when you take a look at what's next in the particular world. You have Canelo Alvarez and Triple G going toe-to-toe in September. And to me, that right there is the fight that boxing not only needs, it's the fight that everyone should be excited about. And I do believe that the overall, when you take a look at the pay-per-view sales in the Conor Floyd fight, you take a look at the pay-per-view sales, it's going to eat into the Canelo-Triple G fight. And that's unfortunate. That's extremely unfortunate. Because that is going to be the fight to watch. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We'll come back. We got plenty more to get to in the national sports scene as well.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price. Marty's Pawn and Arcade features the finest in sports memorabilia, autographed items, collectible art, and so much more. No matter what sideline you're on, they'll have your favorite team's collectibles. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade. From past legends to current stars, Marty's Pawn has the sports memorabilia you're looking for. That's Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price.
If you can't swing like a pro, you can at least look like a pro with the help of TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club. TK's has it all, from clubs and balls to lots of hats and shoes and a great selection of shirts with many colors and sizes to choose from. With the help of the experts at TK's Pro Shop, not only will you look like a pro, you'll be playing like a pro too. The golf course awaits. Get in and gear up today at TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course.
Yeah, what's up? This is Middle World Peace, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Yeah.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. In that last segment, prematurely, a little bit of technical difficulties. We're down to a one-man show here for the remaining 10 minutes. That's okay. Definitely happens. I think you could talk about the results of this fight probably for the last hour. You could, for the whole hour, you could probably talk about the results from this fight. But at the end of the day, you know, we went over what McGregor did right in this fight. I'll tell you the one thing that I have found interesting. There's a lot of people that believed that McGregor would actually win this fight by knockout. And as of today, they're happy that he lasted 10 rounds. That's a participation trophy. It doesn't work. The guy was knocked out. He suffered a TKO. He was knocked out of the boxing ring. And I said that's what would happen. I knew that's what would happen. But at the end of the day, there were MMA fans that really expected him to get the win. So in a closing note, let me say that, yeah, you know what? It was a surprise. It was a nice welcoming event at the end of the day. But I think it was very, very simple as far as the outcome. I think if you watch enough, you knew what the outcome was going to be in this fight. I said 7, it went 10. There were times in this fight I thought Floyd could have ended it early. Unfortunately for me, he did not. But again, I do believe that we will see Conor McGregor once again in the boxing ring. It's one of those deals that there's too much money to be made for him not to get back into the ring. It's the way I view it right now. As far as Floyd goes, is it the last time we've ever seen this guy? Yes. And from time to time, I go back over segments that we have done here on Drive Time Sports. And so I go back to 2015. This was a segment that we did in September of 2015. Floyd was getting ready to fight Andre Berto. And I went on a rant talking about how I hope it's the very last time we see Floyd Mayweather in the boxing ring. And the reason being was there was controversy surrounding the Pacquiao fight. People weren't excited about it. People weren't happy about the way it ended. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that a lot of people were hoping that he would lose. But again, there's a show that follows Floyd. And there was a show in this particular fight. And I love the sport of boxing. In fact, one of the reasons I wanted to get into sports broadcasting to begin with was to be a boxing writer. I love the sport of boxing. And while I appreciate everything that Floyd has done over the course of his career, there's so much talent, at least here in the country, that goes unrecognized because of the show that follows a Mayweather bout. And so I was fine with his career coming to an end in 2015. He claims this is it. He claims he is done now in 2017. And I hope for the sake of boxing that he is. Because the fighter that I saw on Saturday was still very good. That's not the best ever. I believe Floyd's one of the best ever. But he was one of the best ever when he was 38, 37, 36, 35. You go over the course of his career. He fought differently in this fight, but he also fought like a guy that knows that the speed's not there, the legs aren't there. He's 40 years old. He suffered several broken hands. He's got a bad shoulder. He's got a bad elbow. He came back to make $100 million, and I don't know what he's going to end up making. Probably somewhere around $300 million when all the pay-per-view numbers are tallied, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the week. And so I don't fault the guy for coming back, but he knew he was taking a very small risk in this bout. He's not coming back to fight the likes of Keith Thurman. First off, Keith Thurman fight's not going to make $100 million. But there's a danger to it. He's not coming back to fight Errol Spence because Floyd is a borderline sociopath. He is. This guy's obsessed with that zero on his record. He wasn't going to come back and take a major risk. He wasn't going to do that. Came back, he knew it was easy money, he knew it would be a spectacle, and regardless, even the hardcore boxing pundits who didn't like this bout, there is a place for it in history. However, going back to what I was talking about before we had to end the segment, this particular quote-unquote spectacle has taken away greatly from Canelo and Triple G. Greatly taken away from that. Pay-per-view numbers for Golden Boy and the Canelo Triple G fight are not going to be anywhere near what they did for the McGregor-Mayweather fight. In fact, Mayweather-McGregor is number 8 at the movie box office. Can you believe that? They showed this fight in movies, which is not out of the norm anymore. You're always going to see boxing fights or MMA, UFC fights in the movie theater. But it actually cracked the top 10, made $2.7 million at the box office on Saturday night. No way is the Canelo Triple G fight going to live up to that. But I will tell you, it will be a better, more exciting fight, especially for true boxing fans. It's the fight that you definitely want to watch. On the flip side to that, if you look at Canelo and Triple G, you have two guys that I'll refer to as killers in the boxing ring going toe-to-toe. There's going to be a lot of action. Even if you are a lighthearted boxing fan, you are going to want to pay to watch this. Not really economical to pay $100 for a pay-per-view in August and turn around 3 weeks later and do it again in September. That's the problem with the Canelo Triple G fight. But a show follows Floyd. I think after 21 years as a professional, knowing that he went pro at 19, the time has come for the career to end and for someone else to kind of carry the sport. We're going to break one last time. When we return here on Drive Time Sports, we'll put the final touches on this edition of the show. And the McGregor-Mayweather talk, it's finished. It's done. The next time we talk about McGregor, it'll either be him fighting someone else in the cage or maybe Paulie Malignaggi in the boxing ring. We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right after this. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
You have heard of the name Bent Metal Off-Road, but how do you find them? Go to bentmetaloffroad.com or stop by the shop, located at the end of 1955 North in Carbonville, just across the tracks from Grog's.
Remember growing up and spending those summer days at the park? Summer picnics were always accompanied with some juicy chicken from KFC. At KFC, the Colonel's secret recipe is still going strong, and their $20 fill-up meal has got your picnic covered. That's right, just $20 will feed your family well with 8 pieces of chicken, a large coleslaw, 2 large bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits. Grab your kids a blanket and a $20 fill-up meal, and let the summer picnic tradition continue with the help of KFC.
Pride. Tradition. Determination. Emory Spartan football.
There's the snap. They go to Meekum right up the middle. Touchdown, Spartans.
Listen to every kickoff, every tackle, and every touchdown every Friday night.
Friday, the Emory Spartans continue with the non-region portion of the schedule as they play host to 4A Payson. Live coverage will get underway at 6:30 with a Landon's Diesel Service pregame show, followed by kickoff at 7.
Does Bigfoot really exist? What's that thing flying in the night sky? What's standing beside my bed at night? Can people communicate with the dead? What comes after life? My Side of the Universe with Todd Wilcox. Brought to you by Tractor Supply. Saturdays at 7 p.m. And Coast to Coast with George Norrie. 7 days a week at 11 p.m. On KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Christopher Kennedy Lawford tells how he found the way out of drug use.
If you try to control addiction, it will beat you. It will absolutely beat you. I've had that experience myself. What happened to me was a moment of clarity, a moment of grace, a moment of profound transformation that I can only describe as God as I understand it. And that came into my life because I had been beaten down to a point where I was open enough and surrendered enough to allow grace to come into my life. That's what happened to me. The greatest gift in my life has been the ability to surrender, to give up. Because out of that comes unbelievable understanding and unbelievable compassion and unbelievable gifts.
Those overcoming addiction can use your understanding and compassion. For more help, go to findinghopeinrecovery.com from the Mennonite Churches.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
At the beginning of the show, we were talking about BYU and LSU and the game needing to be moved and some of the possible locations. It's now been relocated to New Orleans. Yep, that's where this game is actually going to be played. The LSU Tigers, BYU Cougars. The season opener for LSU, second game of the season for BYU. It will now take place Saturday from NRG Stadium. Well, excuse me, it was going to be at NRG Stadium in Houston. Now it's been moved to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Matt Moscona of ESPN Baton Rouge was the first to have this report. Now, according to the Advocate's Ross Dellinger, the game is going to kick off at its regularly scheduled time, which is 6:30 p.m. here Mountain Time. The move comes, of course, due to Hurricane Harvey, which is now a tropical storm, flooded portions of Houston and some of the surrounding areas. We knew the game would get moved, but now it is basically a home game for LSU. We will talk more BYU football a little bit later on in the week. On Wednesday, actually, we'll have a BYU segment planned. We'll talk about the Portland State game, the movement of this contest, and what BYU has to do differently. If you watch that game, the offensive line just had problems really maintaining Portland State around the outside. Tanner Mangum had a lot of pressure throughout the contest. I'll tell you the other interesting aspect of that game. Portland State was able to play, they didn't have to play zone defense on BYU's receivers. I mean, they're matching right up at the line of scrimmage, basically bump and run. I mean, you did not have to give them a zone. So there are some things that stood out. I do believe BYU was overlooking Portland State, but we'll break down the LSU contest. And you can't forget this week as well, Utah Ute football makes its return to KOAL. On Thursday, the Utes will take on North Dakota from Rice-Eccles Stadium as they open up the season. Tyler Huntley under center. Yep, the sophomore getting the nod over the senior quarterback, Troy Williams. I'm looking forward to that contest as well. A lot of college football. It's finally here. We had 5 games over the weekend. Oregon State looked terrible, but that's a different topic for a different day. Out of time for Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll catch you tomorrow. Be safe. We're out.
serving all of Eastern Utah. This is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL. Price.